Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric Hallgren, along with Ken Evans, covering anything regarding Conor McGregor, because that is all we are legally obligated to talk about today.
Well, I've been sick most of the week. Something going on?
Yeah, Conor McGregor has said that he's not doing any sort of promotion anymore. That's on us.
Well, he retired for a little bit, right?
He did retire. Best there ever was.
Is he still retired? I heard he posted on Facebook this morning.
He is not still...
Wait, are we doing the show intro with the numbers and everything, or no?
Nah, who cares? It's
okay.
It's all Conor
this
McGregor.
This is episode Conor McGregor.
This is episode Irish. So here is what happened, if you missed it, and I don't know, since I just saw CNBC posting about it, how you would have missed it, but if you missed it, here is what happened. There was a cryptic tweet that blew up the internet on Tuesday from Conor McGregor that said, essentially, I've decided to retire young. Thanks for the cheese. Catch yous later. And the internet...
I love your commitment to the factuality of
I'm quoting quoting the tweet.
Okay.
So the internet exploded, as you would guess it would, and lots of people jumped into the fray guessing, did it have something to do with the Cavalo death, which was one of Conor McGregor's teammates involved in that fight when that gentleman from Portugal died?
Yeah, one of Conor McGregor's teammates beat the man to death.
I mean,
it sounds terrible to say it like that, but I mean, if you want to think about how it's going to affect a person and what they're thinking about what happened in front of them and their family and what they do for a living, that's essentially what Conor McGregor sat ringside for when that happened.
And then wrote a blog post about what happened and how he was touched and that, you know, all is not right in the fighting world and all of those sorts of things. And so people were like, okay, is this a response to that? And then Colin Cowherd comes out with the best take, which turned out to be the most correct take, saying, hey, look, a guy of his stature only goes to Twitter when he's looking for attention. So my guess is there's some sort of rubbing of the tires, so to speak, between Conor McGregor and the UFC, and we're going to have to wait to see what happens. That takes about an hour before Dana White has to run around and do all of the shows, including Colin Cowherd.
Dana was all over the place.
All over the place, saying, look, Conor McGregor is off of UFC 200. I don't know if he's retired, but we asked him to do press, and he refused to do press, so he is off. You can't just do that. You cannot show up. And then he goes on to explain a little bit further, specifically with Colin Cowherd, some timing, that they had sent him a text saying, hey, we've got a flight for you that leaves at 2 o'clock. You've got to be on that. If you're not on that, we are not going forward with you at UFC 200. And if you are, in fact, retired, then later on he goes out and says that the Jose Aldo Frankie Edgar fight is now for the actual title as opposed to the interim title.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a number of people on our page and other pages, including Ryan Dempsey and Patrick Bowen, Ryan, who's doing some work for us on the Facebook page, and Patrick, who's a big fan, had said something earlier in the day like, do you think having two title fights on the undercard were the rumblings that something like this was going to happen?
Was it insurance?
Yeah. So, like, did they know something was going to happen?
I don't think, not with these title fights, not with a weird interim title fight on the card. I think the Miesha Tate title fight is obviously a big fight, but I don't think that was insurance against this fight. Well, if it was, it wasn't enough because, you know, it looks like in this instance, you got two guys trying to bluff each other. And I don't know who called whose bluff, honestly, between the two guys, because some people look at this and go, well, look at this. You got Conor McGregor, they called his bluff and they pulled him out of the fight. Well, Conor McGregor, well, look, he called their bluff and he pulled out of the fight. So I guess it kind of depends a little bit on your skew and your perception. And if you're one of those anti-UFC guys and anti-corporate guys, you're going, yeah, Conor showed him. And if you're one of those guys that looks at this and goes, well, this is a business, you got to do these things, you go, well, UFC showed him that if he doesn't show up, he's not going to, you know, be able to fight. But they've tried this before, and it's not worked very well. And I don't know if it's going to work very well against Conor McGregor.
Right, and it didn't work. Let's remember, it didn't work very well against John Fitch.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't outwork John Fitch in promotional activities, mm-hmm. I don't know how you think you're going to outwork Conor McGregor. And I would agree and disagree with you on a couple points here. One, I think this opens a discussion, and we obviously don't get to see the contract, so I don't know what it says when you're fighting Nate Diaz,
mm-hmm.
what you are contractually obligated to do.
Well, here's I just real quickly, and I'll let you finish. let's remember, contractually, they're always independent contractors. You know, Dana White, a lot of people have said, this dude's a student of Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon, all those pro wrestlers we talk about, those guys do not technically work for the WWE. They are independent contractors. So Dana White's UFC fighters are the same way. But we retain your likeness. But we want you to do a promotion. But we want you to do this, that, and the other thing. I don't know, again, how much of that is actually spelled out in the contract. It's going to be really interesting to find out in the next couple days, because what they've done is they've taken their number one draw off of what was supposed to be their number one card for the year, conspiracy theories aside. We'll talk about that later. And say, okay, cool, you guys really like Frankie Edgar in this other fight, though, right? That's pretty good for two. And I'm not taking anything away from Frankie Edgar or anybody else on that card. It's just not UFC 200 type of feel to it. And it's one of those things where you got to wonder who wins and who loses in this situation. If there's going to be a guy who can do it, it's going to be Conor McGregor who can win in this situation. We're far from a situation with these guys where they're like boxers, where they could start their own promotion and start doing their own things. We talked a lot about Mayweather Promotions a couple of years back when we were talking a lot about, you know, his fights and Manny Pacquiao and those other types of things. Nobody in the UFC can do that yet. And there's been a lot of folks saying, hey, you know what? Conor McGregor is pulling more than a lot of these boxing pay-per-views where these guys have a stake in them, where these boxers in the ring actually have a stake in the pay-per-view. Not points, but an actual stake in the pay-per-view. Or like Floyd Money Mayweather, an actual dollar on everything sold in the arena. So if there's going to be a guy that's going to look at it and go, wait a minute, I really like money, and I'm doing this, it's going to be Conor McGregor.
Well, and so what happens is John Kavanaugh, Conor McGregor's coach, takes over the media campaign of this as Conor goes silent after the retirement tweet. And John Kavanaugh, or whoever's with John Kavanaugh, masterfully kind of builds up this announcement. And there's tweets that are deleted. And, you know, Nate Diaz has the best tweet on Tuesday that he ultimately deleted that said, I guess I'm going to retire young, too. My work is done here.
Which maybe it's not, because if you check the UFC 200 Wikipedia page, he's still got a fight. I don't know who he's going
to
fight.
He does have a fight, and what's interesting, and we'll get to the rumors about that.
We'll
get to that in a second.
Because there's one guy I think could save this, quote-unquote.
Absolutely. So, Conor, today, it is Thursday, it is 1:13 in the afternoon as we are recording this. I'm only time-stamping because I don't have any idea.
What was 2 hours ago,
right?
What you're about to say.
I don't have any idea what is going to happen after we put this up and you start getting other information. Conor McGregor goes to Facebook and writes the following.
Are you reading the whole thing?
I'm going to read the whole thing.
All right, I'm going to go take a quick break because I've read it.
I can get through it pretty quickly.
Well, okay. Don't get through it. You want to deliver it in a way that people really... Feel the meat of it.
The following will be brought to you by Audible.
Sound on iHeartRadio.com.
I'm just trying to do my job and fight here. I am paid to fight. I am not yet paid to promote. I have become lost in the game of promotion and forgot about the art of fighting. There comes a time when you need to stop handing out flyers and get back to the damn shop. 50 world tours, 200 press conferences, 1 million interviews, 2 million photo shoots, and at the end of it, I'm left looking down the barrel of a lens, staring at defeat in the face, thinking of nothing but my incorrect fight preparation and the many distractions that led to this. Nothing else was going through my mind. It's time to get back to the life that got me through the... Sorry. Time to get back and live the life that got me to this life. Sitting in a car on the way to some dump in Connecticut somewhere...
Ooh, ESPN burn.
To speak to Tim and Susie on the Nobody Gives a Fuck Morning Show did not get me to this life. Taking some lady deep down that doesn't give a fuck about what I'm doing just so she can have a sound bite and maybe get herself, I'll just edit some of this, a nice little raise.
Why start now?
I'm cool with that. But I've been giving you all raises, and I need to focus on me now. I'm coming for revenge here. I flew an entire team to Portugal and Iceland to make adjustments in preparation and fix my errors. I'm made with the weight and the cardio prep. With the right adjustments and the right focus, I will finish what I started in the last fight. I will not do this if I'm back on the road handing out flyers again. I will always play the game and play it better than anybody. But just for this one, I'm coming off a loss. I asked for some leeway where I can just train and focus. I did not shut down all the media requests. I simply wanted a slight adjustment, but it was denied. There have been $10 million allocated for the promotion of this event. That's what they told me. So as a gesture of goodwill, I went and saved them $10 million in promotion money and tripled it for them all in a single tweet. keep that $10 million to promote the other bums that need it. My shows are good. I must isolate myself now. I'm facing a taller, longer, heavier man. I need to prepare correctly this time. I cannot dance for you this time. It is time for the other monkeys to dance. I've danced all the way here. Nate's little mush head looks good up on that stage these days. Stuff him in front of the camera for it. He came in with no shit to do on that last one. I already done the press conferences, interviews, shot the ads before RDA pulled out. Maybe I'll hit Cabo this time and skull some shots of for pre-fight with no obligation. I'm doing what I need to do for me now. It's time for me to be selfish with my training again. It's the only way I feel the $400 million I've generated in the company in the last three events, all inside of 8 months, is enough to get me the slight leeway. I am ready to go for UFC 200. I will offer, like I already did, to fly to New York for the big press conference that was scheduled and then go back to training with no distractions. If this is not enough or they feel I've not deserved to sit this promotion run out this one time, then I don't know what to say. And for the record also, for the USADA and for the UFC and my contract stipulations, I, capital AM, capital not, capital retired.
So he's not retired. He's doing that for a couple of purposes. One, obviously, USADA is testing purposes, because if they stop testing him, he won't be able to fight
for 4 months. Right, he's got to sit out and
he would lose this essential fight.
He would lose this fight, but then he also has to sit for 4 months to start the testing all over again.
So what he's saying is, hey, look, I sent that tweet out. That's not real. I get what he's doing here, and you know, it's really hard to not support what he's doing here, because there's a guy in the UFC that has sold more pay-per-views than anybody else in the past year. And it's not John Jones. John Jones keeps driving into trees and getting caught doing whatever he's doing. It's not Anderson Silva, who can't fight his way out of a wet paper bag in the UK.
Yes.
Or get away from steroid accusations.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's been Conor McGregor. And that's the one thing that turned me around last time with Conor McGregor. I wasn't the biggest Conor McGregor fan, but the guy keeps showing up, and he essentially takes any fight you give him. And in this case, I don't know what the behind the scenes was, but this isn't Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz or any of the Diaz brothers skipping flights from L.A. to Vegas. This is a guy training in Iceland. I'm not sure why he's in Iceland, but I don't give a crap.
Right.
This is a guy in Iceland right now in the middle of a camp against the guy that he lost to. I mean, we've talked a lot. Go back to the other episodes of this podcast. Talked a lot about, wow, this is a lot for this guy to lose taking this rematch right now. This is a lot for him to lose. Yep. And if he wants to train and if he wants to fight, I don't have any problem with that. There's nobody else in the UFC that can promote a fight the way he can. You pointed it out to me. He's already had the most retweeted athlete tweet in 2016, which also beats last year's record, which was Kobe Bryant retiring in 2015. Kobe Bryant sent out a retirement tweet last year and had it retweeted however many times over the whole year.
Correct.
And Conor McGregor's retirement tweet.
Since Tuesday, has beat that record.
Yeah, it's a new record. It's 2016. Nobody can tell me what the other overall record is. If anybody knows, tweet us. There's a lot he can do, and like he said, he makes great points here. He's not retired. He wants to take the fight. He's got to train for the dude. Let's figure this out is essentially what he's doing. He's laying the ball back in Dana White's court. Dana White went on SportsCenter and The Herd and all these programs and basically said, you don't do the promotion, you don't fight with us. Okay, I get that, but you know what? We've heard from Conor McGregor a lot in the past year and a half. I don't know what – you and I both pay attention to this. I don't know what freaking press conference there was that he missed. I don't remember a notice. I mean, I might have gotten one in my email out of the 30 we get from them all the time. I mean, that's another problem, too. Maybe they do a ton of promotion, and
well,
they have to.
And look, I don't know that we need to live in the past, but let's remember, they put him and Jose Aldo on a plane for 8 months and flew them all over the world for
Again,
8 months.
Go back to those podcasts. We were talking about it. Like, what is going on? Why are they promoting this so far out? We want to see the fight now. And we talked a lot about the fact that, hey, okay, you know what? These guys got to have real camps. Well, if we're going to talk about real camps and this guy wants a real camp and he wants to keep training, let him keep training. Tell me you can't send a damn camera crew over to freaking Iceland, UFC. It's not happening.
Right. Well,
you can't convince me of that.
No, you cannot. And let's remember that, you know, some of the best Conor McGregor has been done via Skype, you know, with the other opponent not being there. You know, when he went after Chad Mendes on whatever that show was when he was over in Brazil. Like, he's done some great mouth work.
He's promoted 10 fights he's not even in yet.
Correct. And I don't, you know, you can say it's hyperbole all you want, but he literally did, as Ken just said, literally did save them $10 million in promotion. They don't need to promote this fight. It's, I posted on my Facebook and right before you walked in. It is the pinned story on CNBC right now.
Mm-hmm.
What? I'm sorry, when was the last time John Jones was the pinned story on CNBC?
It wasn't for a fight, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I've had a lot of casual fans asking me about this. I wasn't able to do the appearance, but I've got a lot of people asking, hey, man, what's going on with this? And I didn't really, you know, I was sick a lot of this week, so I didn't know. But, I mean, this is a guy that garners a lot of mainstream attention. This guy that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated leading up to this fight against what was supposed to be RDA and then ended up being Nate Diaz. I mean, let's also look at the guy he was going to fight. That guy's on Fight Pass 2 days before UFC 200. That tells you a lot about their confidence in Conor McGregor. They were going to headline a pay-per-view with two guys. One of those guys on the cover of Sports Illustrated. The other guy, well, he earns a Fight Pass championship fight when it comes to UFC 200 weekend. That tells you a lot. I guess this is going to be one of those instances where I look at this and I really don't understand. What is your reasoning here, UFC? Let the guy do the fight. The guy doesn't have to walk into a single press conference and this fight is going to sell. It's going to sell beyond belief fight week. You're going to put them on the stage on Wednesday night. You're going to do the weigh-in on Friday night. And it's going to sell a ton of pay-per-views, probably more than any other pay-per-view in history ever.
Sure.
When you put them in the cage on Saturday. Leave this one alone. Leave this one alone. You want to be pissed about guys not showing up for promotion? Pick somebody else. Not this guy.
Well, and I would say Ben Askren was one of the few guys, not one of the few, there was many. One of the few guys, though, that I kind of think hit the nail on the head. And he put out three tweets this morning in the following order. The UFC played all their cards wrong. They look like idiots under all outcomes. His next tweet. Every hand is a winner. Every hand is a loser. It's about how well you can bluff. Conor McGregor is taking the UFC to school right now. His next one. This situation isn't likely about press. It's about money. Now UFC has to cater to all of Conor's unsaid demands and look like petty bastards. And then the other one from Coach Kavanaugh, which is, of course, Conor McGregor's coach, which I thought was to kind of wrap their campaign up the best way to do it to make sure that the pitchforks and the flames keep going throughout the weekend. Your call now, fans. You are the customer. What do you want? Press conferences or fights? Make some noise because we're ready to do this.
And as much as we love the press conferences and as much as we've loved how the setups for these fights have been, we've talked about this a couple times with other subjects, especially off the air. Why is this the sword you want to die on? Why, UFC, is this the dude you picked? Okay, we're going to set the standard here with Conor McGregor. Because you can tell every other fighter. The guy sells 500,000 pay-per-views with a tweet. Can you do that, John Fitch? No. I'm sorry. You can't do that, John Fitch.
I don't think John Jones can do that.
Can you do that, Benson Henderson? No.
Nope.
Well, John Jones can't because he'll delete the tweet 10 minutes later. There might be a handful of dudes that could do that. Nobody would sell as many still as Conor McGregor at this point. Nobody goes on Twitter, retires, and is immediately essentially offered a job by the WWE. I mean, let's remember that, too. The other big organization in the world. You can talk about Bellator all you want. You can talk about Rezine or whatever the hell Fedor is doing right now. Riesling, the wine company.
Yes, the wine,
I don't know.
The wine fighting company.
You can talk about all the other big company on this planet right now when it comes in to fight sports, whatever you want to say about it, is WWE. That guy could walk over there now. He could walk over there now.
And what your
headline pay-per-views and make a lot of money.
Yeah, what you're referring to is when he mentions this retirement thing, like just about everybody in the executive committee of the WWE started following him on Twitter.
Yeah, they all start following him. I mean, they all start tweeting him.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, you got more tweets to Conor McGregor than you do about China today.
Right.
God rest her soul.
Absolutely.
And it's insane that the attention that this guy gets and he's able to garner. I don't understand. Why are you going to die? And on why is this piece of land you're going to die on, UFC? Why have you decided this is where you're going to make your stand?
So two questions coming
out. So the only thing I can think of, and maybe this is one of your questions, is the conspiracy theory that, okay, we're just going to do all this hubbaloo and put him in New York.
And that was...
Do you buy that?
Well, I know I've had a couple friends who that's their theory. I buy it in an if-then statement. If he is not fighting in UFC 200, then absolutely he's at New York. They're going to make him sit out to November. That'll be his penance, right? Mm-hmm. I'm with you. That's a dumb sword to die on. But my actual questions were as follows. One, does he fight at UFC 200?
I don't know at this point, because I will say one thing about Dana White. He's been proven to be one of the most stubborn dudes on the planet sometimes. And a lot of that, I'm not taking anything away from him. A lot of that has benefited the UFC in cases. I mean, think about all the TV deals he turned down that ended up to be really bad-looking TV deals when we see what happened with other promotions. He turned down NBC. He turned down CBS. We all thought he was an idiot for that. But then we saw how they kind of handled the events that they had. You know, World Series of Fighting's okay. CBS, man, they didn't know what they were doing when they had Strikeforce Elite XE or whatever version
right,
on.
Yeah.
You know, basically they went on to, hey, you like NCIS? You like human cockfighting. That's not the way to promote these events. So, I mean, there's a lot of stubbornness that has helped the UFC in the past couple years. So I don't know if he fights at 200. If I'm UFC and I want to make this happen, we figure it out. This is the same guy that did business with Tito Ortiz 10 times after the dude was fired. So I don't know. Does he fight at UFC 200? Remains to be seen. We're a lot closer today, though. He's forced the hand in a very interesting way, because he's essentially, everybody's telling the truth right now. Nobody's lying in this regard. We got everybody's stories. UFC says he's not going to promote the fight. He doesn't get to fight. Connor says, you're right, I didn't promote the fight. I'm in the middle of a damn training camp, and I'm going to do what I have to do to fight. I want to fight. Do customers want to see the fight, according to his management, or do they want to see me in press conferences? So the ball is back in UFC's court, but they've already said, and they've already set that line, that if he's not going to do promotion, he's not going to get to fight. So where are we? And this is another thing, too. This is a lot different for the international stars versus those local stars, essentially. And that's people who can drive to Vegas. That's people who can fly to Vegas in 2 hours. There's people that have to fly from Ireland or Iceland or wherever he's holding his training camp. You know, there's been some guys in Brazil that have been very upset about some of these pressers. Like, hey, I got to get up and, you know, fly 8 hours to the United States for, you know, backwater Bristol, Connecticut BS. And Connor's calling him out on it. You know, those Sports Center anchors, that's fine. You know, I think it's a little bit of a slam there that's unnecessary, because ESPN's the biggest sports company in the world. But I also know that there's a car wash that these guys go through. And there's every Tom, Dick, and Harry on whatever Dubuque, Iowa radio station that wants to talk to these guys for 10 minutes about the fighting thing that don't know anything about it. And that's just a waste of time. How many times have we talked to these guys and we know that they know that we know nothing about this yet? Essentially.
Right.
They don't realize, oh, these guys know what they're talking about. How many times have we done interviews with these dudes where we spend 2 or 3 minutes where we essentially have to prove ourselves so that they just don't sound like a-holes because they're sick of it that day?
Right, which is why, I mean, to give you some inside baseball, which is why when we schedule those things, I always try to go first or second so that I'm not the last one, because the last one, they're done with this car wash. They're done.
Yeah, usually it's a 2 or 3 hour run. They've talked to 20 or 30 people. And probably 90% of those people have no idea what the hell the UFC is.
No idea.
They're trying to fill their time on their crappy-ass morning shows.
Yes. So my follow-up question is, and you might not have an answer to this either, is this the first salvo in the fighters' union?
I don't know if it's the first salvo. It feels like some type of strike back against the UFC, though. And it's with the UFC's biggest star. We haven't had this before. The closest we've had is probably Randy Couture when he finally left the company. But at that point, Randy wasn't on the rise. Randy was selling pay-per-views at a pretty good level. He's probably top 5-10 in the company.
Sure.
But it was a certain level of pay-per-view where, okay, this was a side thing. This is, you're going to fight a boxer. I mean, let's remember, that's where Randy was by the time he essentially left the company. This wasn't a guy on the rise. This wasn't a guy with a belt. You know, he's a legend, a Hall of Famer. But there wasn't a ton of important fights left for that dude. There's a ton of important fights left for Conor McGregor at this point, if that's what this is about. And it's very interesting to see where they're going to go from here, because this is the biggest star in the company. Do they just draw the line and just eat it for the next couple of years and deal with it? I mean, this is a company that can survive doing that. It's not in the best interest of the stockholders, essentially, and I know it's not a public company, but it's something that could then set the precedent, like, we didn't do this with Conor. We're certainly not going to do it with you, because there's no other fighter who can then make that argument. So maybe this is where they hold the line.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, I just don't know. I really feel like, to your point, it's certainly in their court, and they certainly have to respond. I just don't know what cards they have left to play. Because like you said, if they pull him off and they save him for New York, okay. But, you know, as I've been on a couple podcasts this week talking about this, like, there's the rumors, and we'll get into that right now, right? There's the rumors that, okay, John flies through OSP. Can John Jones fight at UFC 200? Well, maybe. I mean, it's with 100% certainty he's going to survive the next 72 hours of not doing something dumb to make it to this fight. But is he going to survive?
Did you just say certainty?
I will say with certainty he'll make it to Saturday. But you cannot tell me from April 23rd to the first weekend in July that what are they going to put him in, a Faraday cage? Like, how do you keep him from doing something stupid? He just seems like he's primed to do dumb things.
I think it's more one of those giant hamster balls.
Fine, whatever you want to put him in, but you cannot tell me that that's a lock, that he makes it there unscathed.
I don't think that's the plan at all. And I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago when we started talking about the 200 card. Once Connor Nate was at it, I said they just didn't want to mess with dealing with, and I think it was probably still DC John at that point. They just didn't trust that either of those guys could come through. I don't know what John's going to look like or not, but I mean, to trust that John Jones is going to be there at 200 is not the best plan in the world.
So there was one other one from today that I thought was interesting, which was that Khabib Nurmagomedov, who had a big win last weekend, came out and said that he was offered not one, but two fights for UFC 200. One of them, you're going to be able to guess. The other one you might have read, but seems so out of left field that I don't even know what to make of it. The first one was Nurmagomedov and Nate Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Nate's already
Nate's
already on the card. You've been out for a minute. You probably walk around at 180, so 170 is no shake, whatever. Or he comes down to 55.
You
right?
just want a free TV card, essentially.
Yeah,
a cable TV card.
Yeah, and Nate said he wanted to fight at 55. This accomplishes those two things. The other one seems a little bit more out of left field, in that Nurmagomedov said that George St. Pierre, who isn't currently on the roster, was the other guy that he was offered.
So that's interesting, too, because there's been a lot of rumors about George St. Pierre stepping in against Nate Diaz, and maybe that could be the thing, too. GSP, obviously, he's talked about coming back. He is allegedly in the middle of a mock camp. He said he didn't want to come back to the UFC unless he knew he could do it. He wasn't even going to essentially negotiate with them. And there's a big hang-up, I guess, about the Reebok deal that he wants changed, too,
as
if he were to come back.
Be.
And I get that. But he says he's not even negotiating until he goes through a mock camp and knows his body can do this. There's no way he can do a mock camp and then still do 200.
Right, because 8 weeks puts him into the middle
of May. He's in the
May.
Middle of a mock camp
yeah,
right
so
now.
So he puts him into May.
He wants to know how he feels and goes in for a mock fight. So I guess it depends. How much money do you throw at GSP? Do you put him in against Nate Diaz? Do you put him against Khabib Nurmagomedov? I don't know. I mean, I think both of those guys are tough dudes to just walk back into the UFC against, especially after what most people say was still his most lackluster performance, which is that retirement bout against Johnny Hendricks.
And what happens, you know, we talked about BJ Penn kind of trying to rebuild his legacy or whatever he's doing right now at UFC 199. What happens if Nate Diaz beats GSP? Right, like that obviously makes Nate Diaz into a superstar overnight because he's certainly on that ride.
Well,
right now.
I don't think that's that. Are you talking about from UFC's perspective?
No,
or,
I'm talking like
GSP?
If you're GSP, what
yeah, it's bad if you're
what
GSP.
Would you do at that point?
No, it's really bad if you're GSP. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I also think if you're the UFC, you probably don't figure you've got a ton of those high level fights with GSP left.
But this
that's not the worst thing in the world if
yeah,
you're the
I mean,
UFC.
And I guess the loss allows you to do the crazy Anderson Silva fight.
Sure. Yeah, let's go the old...
Loser leaves town match?
Well, no. Go the old... what was it we were trying to set up for the longest time? Oh, Chuck Liddell and Vanderlei Silva.
Yes.
Kept trying to get them to win fights to finally fight each other, and eventually they just kept losing. Just fight each other anyways. And guess what we did? We all paid for the goddamn pay-per-view.
Yes, we did.
We all threw money at the TV.
We would pay for this one, too. I just don't know. To your point, if he's in a mock camp right now, the math just seems impossible.
The math is never impossible if you put enough zeros behind it on the check.
Fair enough. I don't know. I think if we're going to do something, it seems more likely of those crazy scenarios that it would be GSP and Nate Diaz than Nurmagomedov and GSP.
Yeah. And here's the interesting thing, because Nurmagomedov, GSP, I love the fight.
So do I. But
it seems super dangerous for GSP at this point. And yeah, you want to, you know what? I guess it's for, again, I'll go back to the UFC's perspective. From the UFC's perspective, you probably take Nurmagomedov from where he is to exactly where you want him with a win like that. So maybe that's not so bad for them. Again, for GSP, terribly dangerous fight. Terribly dangerous fight.
Well, and with Nurmagomedov, right? Like, his win over the weekend wasn't particularly spectacular. So this would be...
Yeah, well, here's the thing. We never know how good these dudes are. And I know that's always been one of my things. I never know how good these guys are that are 12-1 from another. Sometimes they can be amazing. Sometimes they can be terrible. So this could, you know, this could be one of the best guys on the planet that he beat last week. We just don't realize it yet. I'm not saying he is or isn't, but that guy could have been, you know, what was he, 12-1 walking in the cage?
Sure.
So, I mean, you're guessing. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, it wasn't a flash knockout or a super huge out of nowhere sub, but I mean, a win is still a win, you know?
Yes, I guess what I'm saying is, for Horsher being an unknown, to essentially hang with him for 3 minutes in the first round, then ride out the being mounted for 2 minutes, and then take it to the second round, I think would have surprised most people.
But again, I have a real tough time until these guys get in the UFC sometimes of judging where they were before.
All right, so we will move on because that's about what we know about this situation.
Hold on, do you want me to check his Facebook real quick?
Sure, while I'm talking. Because this weekend, it's UFC
1. Oh, he's signed. He's good.
Oh, perfect.
I'm just kidding.
UFC 197 as Jon Jones returns to action for an interim light heavyweight title against Dovince St. Preux because everybody gets a title. The co-main event.
So many belts.
Will be Mighty Mouse versus Henry Cejudo for the interim actual flyweight title.
No, that's not interim. It's actual. I don't care about the weight class. Even I'll say, hey, that's the real title.
Anthony Pettis.
It's probably the realest title in the UFC.
And Edson Barboza also fighting for the interim lightweight title.
No, there's no belt there. They should just give them belts, like Carhartt belts or something.
Yes.
Weight belts. You won this UFC. Good job.
You also have our boy Kevin Lee. He's fighting Efrain Escudero for the other interim light heavyweight.
No, there's no more belts.
Oh, I'm just figuring that everyone
is that
gets
the preliminary world championship?
Yes, that's that. Well, because everyone gets a belt, right? That's what we're doing these days. I mean, let's be honest, Ken.
The Fight Pass title, is there one of those?
Man, they should. They should just go straight WWE and have titles.
Just have
for
a Fight Pass title
for everything.
It's defended every time there's something on Fight Pass.
There's an FS1 title.
You're going to have to fight every 3 weeks, bro.
There's a Fox title.
Every time we put the stupid Invicta on, you're on there right before that.
There's a pay-per-view title.
I'm sorry. Invicta's not stupid.
Number one, Jon Jones versus number six, Dovince St. Preux.
I thought he was number five. He get knocked down?
Just
I would leave it to you and your friends. Like, a guy gets a fight and they just start knocking him down in the rankings.
Just hate him.
You dicks.
Thoughts about this fight? Because I know, and I ask you this because I think most people will go, oh, OSP has zero chance, but
no.
You've been 100% vocal about this idea that ring rust and what John has been doing for the last 2 years could be highly dangerous to a success rate.
We've got not only ring rust, but the dude seems to be kind of cracking up. And, I mean, obviously the legal problems aside, he just, you know, he did this interview. I was a drug addict, blah, blah, blah. And I don't mean to blah, 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 the drug addiction, but Jesus,
well, you got the
John.
Drug addiction part in. It was the other part.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know where this dude is mentally. I don't know where he is ring rust-wise. I think to count on a guy like Dovince St. Preux is just silly at this point. You know, it seems, too, like John is still really focused on D.C. And that can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. It can be a bad thing if you're overlooking the fact that you've still got to fight a guy that's right in front of you. And you know what? I love the fact that DC just keeps feeding into it. You know, a lot of people are saying DC's being petty. DC can't let it go with Jon Jones. Why wouldn't you if you're DC? You just run the dude down and make him focus on you and make him think about you. Because we know this isn't put on for a fight. They hate each other. So if I can F up your career by making you lose this fight because you can't focus, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be on Twitter all day. Yep. I'm going to be on Twitter just like Conor McGregor all day, tweeting insane things out about you and making you more pissed and pissed at me while you're out there trying to fight the number five, now six guy in the division apparently.
He's seven now.
Is he really saying? No, are you kidding?
I'm just kidding.
You and your friends.
Just went down while we were talking.
You and your friends. You know, it's interesting in this case where you see DC kind of poking the stick at him, and I think part of it's DC thinks he should be liked a lot more than Jon Jones is, and I honestly think it would work out that way. Once John's back, you get past the quote-unquote return pop, you'll be fine. But DC doesn't like Jon Jones, John doesn't like DC, and you've just got Dovince St. Preux over here training to actually have a fight.
Man, I don't see any scenario that OSP can win this thing.
What if they give John a cart to take from the backstage to the cage and he crashes it into the side of a building?
Yes.
That
might be the only.
I think that's only 2-1 in Vegas. Those aren't bad odds right now.
Are you looking at the lines? What are the lines?
No, I was saying of John Jones crashing a cart into the side of the arena.
Fair enough.
It's 2-1.
Yes.
I'll put 5 on that.
You should put.
There you go. I don't have the odds in front of me.
Obviously, Jones is the favorite in that one.
Well, no, he's the favorite.
St. Preux is +445. So,
after a guy's been off since last January. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't see any way that OSP wins this one unless you're right and John Jones is so off of his game and so out of his mind that Ovince can handle some sort of hole in the game. But
I think it's interesting you think there's no chance John Jones doesn't make it till Saturday.
Well,
I feel like if anybody in the UFC could screw up like 2 days in a hotel... It's John Jones at this point.
Okay, if he makes it to Saturday, though, I honestly believe that that the best fighter on the planet, hands down, is John Jones.
Okay.
On the planet. And so, to me, he's the lock to win this thing, and I think he beats DC. I know he beat him, and he didn't run away with it. He didn't knock him out. He didn't finish him. Mm-hmm. But I think he beats DC in the rematch at UFC 200.
200, you think that's where they're going to land?
Maybe.
All right.
I mean, it's that or you make him wait around till November, but man, I wish they wouldn't do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Again, John Jones is such an unknown, I don't even know how to speculate about the dude at this point.
All right. The co-main event is Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson against Henry Cejudo. I know you're a huge fan of Henry Cejudo. Vegas, not a huge fan of Henry Cejudo. He is +320.
That's interesting, man. Am I giving too much credit to the Olympics? I feel like when you just discount an Olympic champion the way that it seems like these people are, it just seems like a bad idea. I get that Mighty Mouse can hop around. But can he hop away from the takedown? Because that's what he's going to have to do. I'm not joking. Laughing like I'm joking.
I am. Well, I'm laughing because it's so interesting. And one, while we're here, I want to apologize to everybody on our Facebook page that didn't understand the UFC 200 joke that I put up. Sorry, I thought everyone would understand that.
Didn't understand that?
There's lots of people who thought it was Anderson Silva,
like
or Robbie Lawler,
or didn't upload the whole picture or something.
Right, exactly. Sorry, you didn't get the joke. I should have added some context. That said, is there a champion on the roster who gets less respect than Demetrius Johnson, who has literally beat everybody except for Dominic Cruz at a different weight class?
No, there's not.
Okay.
And I can't explain why. It's what happens.
Can he fix it? Is it fixable?
No.
No?
No. No.
No. Nobody will ever.
No.
What would you... Well, okay, so let's...
Henry Cejudo, flyweight champion, Olympic champion. That'll sell a little more. And it sucks because you're a guy
so
like the Beast.
It's crazy
to me. I'm just
telling
you what's happening.
It's crazy to me.
And then you got the rematch set up, and you've got a lot of fun stuff there. I don't know. I just feel that people are being really dismissive of Henry Cejudo. And you can go back a couple years, I think, on the podcast at this point. I was talking about it.
Oh, you've been talking. I mean, we've been talking about this fight for at least two.
I like this guy. I'm like, oh, look at this. Olympic champion. That's cool, man. That's a fight you set up. There's something that can sell. And you're going to get it on a pretty big fight card with John Jones. So it'll be very interesting because if he can beat Demetrius Johnson, I think that, strangely enough, that will propel the division to a different level than Demetrius has simply by beating everybody, like you've said.
Well, because this is going to be a huge step up in competition. I mean, he hasn't really fought a whole bunch of really named guys at that division. And again, I know you're going to joke here that there aren't very many named guys at that division.
No, there's Benavidez.
Yes.
He's fought him a couple times.
He has not.
Right?
Cejudo has not fought him.
Not Cejudo.
Okay.
Demetrius Johnson.
Yes, Demetrius Johnson has.
He fights Benavidez every other fight.
Yeah.
And then he fights the next guy, and then he fights Benavidez.
Yes.
And he fights the next guy, back to Benavidez.
Yes.
That's what's going on here.
But what I'm saying is that your boy Cejudo really hasn't fought some of the upper echelon in
that
division.
He beat the world. And the Olympics.
Okay.
The world,
and,
Eric.
And thus, that's why he's going to win on Saturday night.
Gold medal.
Middle pack fight, lightweight bout of
Anthony. I like that his name is The Messenger, by the way.
Anthony Pettis against...
Did he lose the nickname draw? Like, there were 30 guys in the room, and, like, he was the last one, like, Messenger. All
Messenger.
Right. I'm going to send you a message.
He was the messenger bag for a little while. He didn't
right.
do that. Okay.
Even the postage stamp got a better nickname.
Anthony Pettis and Edson Barboza, plus
Edson one... the email Barboza, I believe it is.
Yes. Yes. Plus 155 for Barboza and Pettis is minus 180. So a fairly even bout between those two. And to me, a must win for Anthony Pettis. And let's hope for his brother's sake that his brother's streak of losing every time he's on the card with his brother does not continue.
Oh, Sergio's on the card.
Of course he is. Anthony's fighting.
If there Sergio's, you go.
All the Pettises.
Nice.
Pettai?
Pettises. The Petit.
Your thoughts on this fight?
None.
You know, all right. Thank you.
Wait, Sergio's fighter?
Yes, please give me your thoughts on Sergio's fight.
Yeah, I went Sergio's fight. No, Pettis, I mean, it's here's a problem the UFC is just set up. It's worked on me, and I don't know if it's done the same thing. When you just took the title in that division and put it on Fight Pass, I'm not paying as much attention. So I took this fight that was kind of a contender fight for the title and go, oh, man, this contender fight for that title is going to be on Fight Pass. And I get it. It's fight week, and they're putting big fights on all the cards, and that's how it works that week. But, man, I just have a lot of trouble at this point in the weight division going, I don't know. Do I care if they fight RDA or Eddie Alvarez
so
later?
Let me ask you two questions, and I'll correct my histrionics. Sergio is actually 4-2 in the UFC.
It's pretty good, Sergio.
Doesn't lose all of them. Your knocks on Fight Pass, I think, are interesting because I don't know how you fix this product. Your original bitch is that there isn't enough cool stuff on it. And then when they put cool stuff on it, you think it takes away from how cool it is.
Well, here's the thing. Because this is the weirdest part of the Fight Pass card is like you've got it on the third tier event that week, essentially. Because I get it. It's fight week. So you're going to do this, this, and this. But let's go back to the WWE comparison. On WWE Network, you had a week of events for WrestleMania.
Sure.
Nobody on the planet thinks that, you know, NXT is the big event that weekend. It can turn out pretty big, and there's performances, and it ended up being a very critically acclaimed wrestling card, but nobody thought that was the big event that weekend. Nobody thinks that that championship fight event is the big event that weekend, and there's a bit of an issue with that when you've got a weird interim fight headlining the weekend at this point. And the women's fight, also co-main eventing that card. And then you got RDA, who was supposed to fight Conor McGregor, is now on Fight Pass. Cool, but okay. Now I'm just taking a look at things and going, I don't know where they are. Am I going to watch it? Yes. Am I going to watch it live? I don't know. I don't know. It's a championship fight, and I don't know if I'm going to watch it live.
Yeah.
It's a Thursday, man.
It is a
How
Thursday.
How late is that going to run?
I just...
It's in Vegas. It's going to be pretty late. Some of us got to work on Friday.
Yes, clearly.
Then be up late for UFC 200.
I know we're getting off track a little bit, but I just don't know when you're trying to get this thing off the ground.
No, it's a really let me say this. It's a really cool idea. I really like the idea, but it also I think everything this week has just shown the chasm between some of these fighters and Conor McGregor.
Oh,
you
sure.
You literally got the dude that was going to headline a pay-per-view with Conor McGregor sitting on Fight Pass right now, and I think a lot of those things play into what's going on and what happens in the division, and who really cares in this division if it's not Conor at this point? Like, is this winner of this Pettis fight going to even matter if Conor decides, well, I do want the RDA fight? If Barboza wins, is he going to jump in front of Conor McGregor if Conor decides that later? No.
It's
a good fight in the division. The problem is it's not going to really settle a whole lot, and it's sitting on a card where there's a very interesting John Jones fight and there's a Demetrius Johnson fight, and it's going to be a good fight for the night. It's not enough, though, where people are going to really look at it and want to break it down that much in the beginning and see what's going to happen here and there. We're going to see what happens. If it's a good fight, cool, and then we'll decide what happened after that.
So Pettis is on a two-fight losing streak, including when he lost to RDA and lost the championship. So he hasn't won a fight since 2014. You've got Edson Barboza, whose last fight he lost to Tony Ferguson and then lost in February of 2015 before that against Michael Johnson. In between that, he beat Paul Felder in July of 2015. So he's 1-2 in his last three fights. So not quite as dire straits, but I think for Anthony Pettis, this will be an interesting look for him, because if he can't get by Barboza and he didn't get by Eddie Alvarez and lost the championship to RDA, is that Pettis era, you know, the cage running that they'll run ad nauseum this week, is that era done?
Oh, I'm, I, I think so. I mean, if those things all fall into place like that, it's going to be tough to come back from something like that.
Do they cut him? Does he join Benson over at Bellator?
Maybe. I mean, is that a thing? I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing.
Why, they got to cut him first for it to be a thing? I'm just your gut reaction. He loses three in a row. He hasn't won in 2 years.
I think so. I think that division is just so heavy at this point with a lot of contenders. Like, what are you going to do with that guy? He's then three or four fights away from a title fight, if that's what happens. Is that a guy you keep around? I don't know. This depends on contracts and all these other things that we're not exactly privy to.
Well, and to your point, right, you've got Ferguson, who's out with a medical condition. He'll be back. Mm-hmm. You've got Nurmagomedov, who's floating around, who's willing to fight George St. Pierre at this point just to stay busy. You have, if Edson Barboza wins, you have Edson Barboza. Mm-hmm. You have an interim title at this point. No, you don't have an interim
title.
You got a fight pass title happening between RDA and... Who's fighting RDA?
Alvarez.
Alvarez. So you've got Alvarez and RDA locked up. You've got Barboza free. You've got Nurmagomedov free. You've got Ferguson when he gets back. So, yeah,
you got a guy who's three or four fights away from a title fight.
Maybe five fights away, depending on who he's... I mean, everybody else has a dance partner.
And one more loss, and he's out of it for the longest time.
Oh, four, I think they cut him.
Okay. So, but that's what I'm saying. Do you keep him around for four or not? I don't know. We find out after this weekend what that is going to look like.
All right. As always, you can follow along on Twitter by searching Wow Show, and we will keep you abreast of all the insanity that's going on in Conor McGregor's life, including when he gets signed right back up for UFC 200 by Saturday afternoon. All of that will be on Twitter and Facebook. Search Wow Show. I'm Eric. He's Ken. This is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.